You know, what's really fascinating about the statistics on what type of health conditions people get, like cardiovascular is number one, cancer is number two, but there's some fascinating information to show that there's another epidemic condition that's even higher than both of those combined, and that is autoimmune diseases. And so today I brought in a very competent doctor, Dr. Dimitri, to discuss this topic because he has a lot of experience in there. So welcome, Dr. Dimitri.
Hello, Eric. Hello, Dr. Berg. How are you?
I appreciate you taking the time. I interviewed you before because you're actually my doctor, so I wanted to tap into your knowledge base. But you even mentioned this, and this is like mind-blowing. There's so many people that have autoimmune diseases nowadays. I mean, it's like it dwarfs some of these other conditions, which is crazy. But what I want to ask you is, out of all of the autoimmune conditions that people are getting, what is at the top of the list, the number one condition?
Okay, let me give a picture. Can I show a picture of some
Sure.
stats that could help? Autoimmune disease is the number one cause of chronic disease. And now I'm going to refer a few statistics about US population. So while in the US there are 9 million people suffering from cancer and 22 from cardiovascular disease, there are 50 million, probably more, people suffering from a type of autoimmune diseases. Autoimmune diseases are conditions where the immune system does not recognize its tissues or organs as selves, so it attacks them, considers them as being extraneous particles or tissues, and attacks them. This creates a chronic inflammation and gradually leads to the destruction of the organ interested. Now, from all these diseases, the number one, the most common one, is Hashimoto disease, which is an thyroid autoimmune condition.
Yeah, this is interesting because, if you take a look at hypothyroidism, which, you just assume that the thyroid is not working that well, it's a thyroid problem, but isn't the majority of hypothyroidism Hashimoto's?
Yes, the great majority. It's the number one cause of hypothyroidism. It's Hashimoto's disease.
So in reality, would you say that this Hashimoto's is not necessarily a thyroid disease? It's more of an immune disease. What would you clarify that with me?
Of course, Hashimoto's thyroiditis is an autoimmune condition. It's a chronic inflammatory condition of the thyroid that is caused from the immune system itself. The immune system attacks the thyroid gland and gradually destroys it. When the destruction of the gland is above a certain percentage and influences the function of the organ itself, we go into hypothyroidism, a lower function of the thyroid gland. At this moment in the US, it's calculated that 26 million of the population are suffering from Hashimoto's thyroiditis. If you consider that 9 out of 10 of these patients are women, it's a huge part of the women population that is suffering from this disease.
And it's pretty wild that I know when I was in practice, people would come in with hypothyroidism, and they would just think, "Oh, I have low thyroid hormones, so I just need to take my thyroid hormones, and that's going to correct the problem." But this is a little different. This is a little bit
Yes.
different.
The problem here is that since the thyroid gland is not recognized from the immune system, it produces antibodies. They are called autoantibodies, which attack the thyroid gland, and then these antibodies get attached to thyroid cells, and then cells of the immune system are guided towards those antibodies and destroy the gland itself. So we have a chronic inflammation of the thyroid, but in order to arrive at that point where the body produces these antibodies and destruction and chronic inflammation of the gland, there must be some prior metabolic dysfunctions and deficiencies that brought to that. So it's a small, this diagnosis, it's a small part of the whole problem in the whole picture.
Mm. So basically, there's a cascade of things, and this is usually late on the chain of events. Tell me some of the potential triggers or causes that precede this condition.
Yes. First of all, while we said that there are 26 million people with Hashimoto's, and 9 out of 10 of these people are women, 9 of 10 that are diagnosed with Hashimoto thyroiditis are women. This is caused mainly because women have a lot of hormonal adaptations and changes during their lifetime. They start having menstruation, they have menstruation every month, they get pregnant, they stop menstruating, and so on. And all these changes in and outs and changes in the balance to progesterone and estrogen create adaptations of the immune system, and the thyroid has to adapt also. And these changes, when there are the body is not in an optimal condition, guide to dysfunction of the immune system and the inflammation that causes the disease.
Wow.
So 18% of the U.S. population, U.S. adults, which is more than 60 million, it's calculated that they have autoantibodies against the thyroid. The Hashimoto is not a one, the autoantibodies against the disease are one part of the diagnosis. In order to make the diagnosis of Hashimoto thyroiditis, the actual is with a biopsy, but usually we don't make biopsy to everyone. So we measure the TSH, which is a hormone secrete to regulate thyroid function. We measure the thyroid hormones like T3 and T4. We also see through ultrasound test the form, the structure of the thyroid, and all this data contribute to make a diagnosis.
Mm.
But let's say that the final diagnosis Hashimoto's is a biopsy diagnosis through a biopsy.
So then now you have a very large clinic in both Rome and also Greece. So what are you seeing as far as the common things to be able to reverse this? And first of all, is it reversible? And then what are you finding that you have to change to make things better?
Okay, yes. This is a very often question we have, if this is reversible, from patients also. There are various points we can intervene and this in relation to reversibility. When we ask about reversibility, we mean we stop the destruction of the thyroid, we mean the inversion of the damage of the thyroid, or we mean stopping taking medications, because all these are different points where the disease has arrived. And if we answer the first question, so stopping the immune system destroying the thyroid gland and lowering the autoantibodies, this is almost in 90% of cases we can do that. It needs usually in 6 months to a year. This is something that can occur. Reversing the destruction of the thyroid is probably the most important for me and for the patients, because we salvage the thyroid, which is it's vital for the quality of life and the health of the patients. And then reversing also the inflammation of the gland, also this is possible if it's in the starting stages of the disease. But if the person has started taking an medication, and T4 usually, to supplement the thyroid hormones, this is not, in most of cases, this we cannot do. Cannot reverse and stop taking the medication, because the thyroid gland is a gland that is very slow in regenerating. Each tissue in our body has a different time of regeneration. For example, our blood cells regenerate in a few months, 3-4 months. The skin cells in a few days, and so on. But the thyroid cells regenerate they have a time of regeneration of 7 years. So it's a very slow process. We had some cases that we follow them for many years, and it happens that they managed to stop taking the medication, but it's not something we can say for every case or this is going to happen. So reversing the disease means initially the first target should be to lower the autoantibodies. So this means that the body stops destroying the gland. It means also managing and stopping the inflammation at the level of thyroid. So the cells that have remained, they can function the best possible ways. So this can bring gradually to a diminishing of the dose of the supplementation of the hormone through a medication. But stopping completely the medication once the treatment has started, it's not something that we can see that can it's possible for everybody. Mm.
And as far as, we know the thyroid hormones go into almost probably every single cell in the body. So they directly affect the metabolism and so many different things. What are some of the common symptoms that someone gets with a hypothyroid Hashimoto's type condition?
The first symptom that manifests is, and it's one of the prime symptoms, it's low energy. So the person doesn't have the energy it used to have in prior years. Usually, the people often think that this is due to because they get older, which is not true. It's a mitochondrial dysfunction. The energy of the body is lower. I need to clarify at this point that the thyroid as a gland is a hormone that actually regulates metabolism, regulates the rate of metabolism. So our body doesn't function in the same condition. Actually, these conditions change continuously. We are indoors and it's hot, we go outside and it's cold, we can be angry, we can be relaxed, we can eat, we can do physical exercise. All these conditions need a different metabolic rate. So our body has to adapt to the needs of energy, and this, the major adaptation mechanism of metabolic rates that change is regulated through the thyroid gland. So thyroid increases the rate of metabolism of decreases based on the needs. When we sleep, we need lower energy, and makes that possible for the body to have the optimum output of energy. So when the thyroid dysfunctions, this means that our body cannot adapt. And this, when we speak about adapting, means about the function of every organ. Almost every cell in the body is influenced by the thyroid hormones. So by losing this ability to adapt and respond to changes in the environment, influences our health and the function of the body as a whole. One of the first things so that people note is the lower of the energy levels, because the body cannot adapt to that. Then the second is difficulty in modulating, regulating the body weight. People that usually have problems with weight problems, increased weight, sometimes even they cannot increase their weight because they have a higher metabolic rate than needed because from the dysfunction of the thyroid. But the most common thing is that people cannot adapt, cannot regulate their body weight. They are overweight. They have more weight than they should because the metabolic rate is low and the body stores fat instead of being able to burn it and use it as energy. One other thing is hormonal imbalances. So in women that also, most of the patients that suffer from the disease are women. We have dysregulated hormonal cycles. We have pain. We have inflammation. We have infertility. So many problems, migraines correlated with the hormonal cycle and hormonal imbalances. Another symptom, which also influences a lot the quality of life of these patients, is emotional instability. These people with Hashimoto can experience within the same day a lot of changes at emotional level. They can be tense, they can be exhausted, they can be angry, they can cry. They have so many changes. They often refer that they are overwhelmed from thoughts that come that they cannot control. And often they try to handle that with meditation or other means, believing that these are due to mental causes. But the thing is, it's a hormonal and metabolic imbalance that when this is corrected, all these problems get improve a lot, if not handled completely.
That's fantastic. What are, as far as things that you found, are there multiple different things that you're finding that are, like, certain patients are missing in their nutrition or things, or have you found like there's like only one thing that always causes this problem, or is it multiple things?
Actually, there are some metabolic dysfunctions that are common to most of the patients with Hashimoto, with some variations. As in regard to deficiency, everybody, I have not found a person with Hashimoto, have vitamin D deficiency. So this is...
Oh, they do have vitamin D deficiencies?
Yes. Every patient, at the moment they are diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, they have vitamin D deficiency. This is 100% or not close, it's 100%. We have made the statistics, we have announced the results, and it's 100% of patients with Hashimoto, they have vitamin D deficiencies. Then one common problem also goes hand in hand with Hashimoto is insulin resistance. Also in this case, everybody with Hashimoto, or more than 90% in this case, they are insulin resistant or have insulin metabolic dysfunction. Insulin, their cells do not respond to insulin signal. They have lost to a degree the sensitivity to insulin. Another very vital problem is marginal micronutrient deficiencies. So these marginal deficiencies, along with insulin resistance and also dysbiosis, alteration of the microbiome, they end to disrupt mitochondrial function.
So just to clarify, the marginal, you're talking about there's subclinical or slight deficiency of micronutrients like trace minerals? Or is there some other meaning of that?
Okay, when we have a complete deficiency of vitamin, like vitamin D or vitamin C, we have bractism, we have a complete manifestation of disease that is completely caused by the lack of this nutrient. When we have lack of vitamin C, we have scorbuto. So in these cases, we don't live in an environment that there is a complete deficiency of a nutrient, but we have multiple marginal, not complete, but deficiencies of micronutrients. So they lack of zinc, magnesium, or omega-3, and other minerals, potassium and so on, chromium, B-complex vitamins, vitamin E, antioxidants, amino acids. So the body, in order to function, needs 166 nutrients and elements. And this, they have to be present, all of them, at the same time, in a correct equilibrium, and this can vary from person to person, in order for the body to function optimally. And these, in most cases, there are multiple deficiencies, this is not one, of these various micronutrients that are necessary for life to function, so our body can function healthily. The thing is that all these multiple deficiencies end up to disrupt the mitochondrial function. So one common problem here for this patient, probably one of the basic problems that bring to the manifestation, to the development of Hashimoto's thyroiditis is mitochondrial dysfunction. Mitochondria are little organelles that are within the cells that 90% of the energy in the body is produced in these organelles. So all these multiple deficiencies, even though not complete deficiencies, they disrupt the function of the mitochondria, lower energy levels, the efficiency of the body, and then the thyroid has to work more.
So I got it. So it's a backup.
Let's say that your body has to produce 100% of energy, and your mitochondria function at the 50% level.
That's fascinating, because so in this situation, thyroid is just overcompensating for a lack of mitochondrial production. So one thing that's very unique about what you do versus other doctors, you have a specialized test that you do that really pick up these subtle changes that really are very, very important, almost like you get more of a complete picture. And I guess that would be called metabolomics, right?
Yes, true. We measure small molecules called metabolites that participate in the chemical reactions within our within the human body. So instead of measuring the nutrients in the blood, because this does not reflect the deficiency or the needs of our body, because our body tries to keep the concentration, the consistency of the blood constant. Because if, for example, someone is missing calcium, even though he has osteoporosis, the levels of calcium in the blood are going to be within normal. It's even in advanced stages of osteoporosis and lack of calcium. Because if the concentrations of calcium go higher or lower, the heart will stop and many functions or cells will die. So the body tries to keep the consistency of the blood stable. So when the consistency, the levels of a nutrient in the blood changes, this means that it's very late. It's too late. In order to overcome this problem, we have to measure chemical reactions that occur in the presence of the nutrient we want to test. For example, we can measure the transformation of one metabolite to another that needs B12 or needs magnesium or needs glutamine and so on. So by measuring this chemical reaction, if this is occurring at normal levels, optimal levels, we can see if the body needs more or less of the nutrient we are testing.
So basically, you know, instead of looking at the RDAs for certain nutrients, we're looking at how these RDAs are really being utilized in the body and seeing if they're sufficient or not, depending on that individual. So it's a very completely different strategy.
Yes, it's individualized, yes, personalized.
So for those of you listening, if you have a condition like this and you want to get it evaluated a lot deeper, I'm going to put your link down below where you can get this test, get it evaluated. I will put that link down below. And I know that you mentioned that you have a small amount of time to do this interview, so I just wanted to cram as much as I can in this interview and just get these the overview of the thyroid. And this is just fascinating information. So anyway, I want to thank you for spending the time and hopefully clarifying some of these confusions that people have about this thyroid problem, Hashimoto's, and not to mention just autoimmune in general and how different that is. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Berg, for the interview.
You're welcome.